Why are you happy about what God is doing in your life, that He does that for everybody? Can you imagine where you would be if you heard those things from everybody and you followed what they said just so that they would maybe invite you over for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, then you could be part of their little group because you thought like them? I'm here tonight to tell you that you're standing with the Lord, and what you know to be true far outweighs anybody's opinion of what you should be doing. And tonight, we're going to look at a story, two separate stories, they tie together, but we'll be in Psalms 131, and also we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. But we'll start in Psalm 131, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. And it's such a small little psalm, a small little passage, but there's so much packed into it, and we'll get into that tonight. So Psalm 131 says, and this is David, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask that you be with us from this moment on and forevermore, Lord, not just with this service, God, but guide our lives, direct our lives, protect us when we're under attack, Lord, and be the God that you promised that you're going to be. Lord, your word says if we lean on you, you will see us through. Yeah, there might be troubles and tribulations. Yeah, there might be people that are against us. But Lord, you're going to prevail. Your word is eternal. Your promises are eternal. And we love you and thank you for that. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So David here is writing this, and there's a little bit of perhaps sorrow in this psalm. And he's, you know, when we get questioned with something, or people tell us that we're not good enough or we're acting out of line, I don't think that sometimes we can help but think and reflect on, well, is what I'm doing for the Lord, or is what I'm doing for me? In this context of this psalm, if you turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, we'll just be here just briefly. At least that's my plan, but sometimes that don't work out. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Now the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." Now, mind you, David, they had just defeated the Philistines, and they had got the Ark of the Covenant, and they were bringing it back to the city of David, and he was excited that this was happening. He was excited, and his wife, Michal, well, it says she saw him dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Verse 17 says, "So they brought the ark of the Lord, and they set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house." Verse 20. "Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.'" She's upset that he's excited about what the Lord's doing. She's calling him out, saying, "Wow, you're full of pride. You're full of arrogance. You're full of all of these things." And she goes on, and David says in verse 21, "So David said to Michal, 'I was before the Lord, who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor.' Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Watch out. If you come to God's people and you accuse them of these things, don't expect a scot-free exit. Don't expect nothing to change or that God won't put a hurt on you, because he can. But she's upset because her dad is no longer the king. God has appointed somebody else in David, and having the ark come back to Jerusalem in Israel is a big deal. And he's happy and he's excited about it, and he's leaping for joy. And all of those things, he says he's doing it before the Lord. It's because he wants to bring glory and honor to God. And she sees it as pride, as arrogant, as who does this man think he is? Which brings us to Psalm 131. And this is why he's writing this. He says in verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. You see, God knows David's heart. I don't think that there was a doubt in his mind that David wasn't doing these things to be prideful or arrogant. And as a matter of fact, David rejected pride and turned it all back to the Lord. He said, this is nothing that I'm doing. This is what God has given me. He has established me as king over these people, and I will rule with God at the head. And so he had no problem rejecting pride even as a king, because he understood Proverbs 3:34. It said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. He understood that. James talks about it in James chapter 4, verse 6. He references that. But David goes before the Lord and says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, neither my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Now, if you know the history of David, he has some pretty great accomplishments as king. He was a great poet. God had blessed him in writing. He brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He conquered enemies of Israel. He expanded the geographical boundaries of Israel to make it a bigger state. But he had much to be proud of. He had much to tote in an arrogant manner, yet he says, Lord, you know, even though people are accusing me, even though my own wife is accusing me of being proud and being arrogant of the things that you've asked me to do, Lord, you know that I have none in me. He says, I'm not haughty. I don't have this step up. I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I don't think that you're worse than me because of X, Y, or Z. He's saying, I don't think those things. I know I'm even killed because you're at the top and I'm under you and everybody else is under you. That's what David's saying. He's saying, people are going to talk. It could be your own family. They'll point every little thing out that you do and tell you why it's wrong. It could be. It could be your friends. It could be your boss. It could be your coworker. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. And they'll nitpick every little thing that you do wrong. Every little thing of why you're not good enough to serve God, or why you're serving God that way when he's called you to serve him in that capacity. And they'll pick it, and they'll pick it, and they'll pick it until you start second guessing, wow, is what I'm doing right? Is what I'm doing really what God wants me to do? Is my family right? Is it something that I'm not seeing? Like I said earlier, your understanding of what the Lord wants for you has got to outweigh anybody's opinion, regardless of relationship. If God's calling you to do something, it's best that you do it. But it's also best that you do it with a humble heart, because he has quite the way of humbling us, doesn't he? And he moves on. He says, neither do I concern myself with great matters. He didn't concern himself with the status. He didn't concern himself with a promotion or position above what God had called him to do. He didn't say, I'm going to be ruler of the world. He didn't say, I'm going to be king over all of Asia and in the Middle East. He was content with what God had given him. Now, I don't know how many kings can say that they don't want more, more, more. Many of us oftentimes say, Lord, what you're giving me isn't good enough. I need more. And then when you get more, you say, not that much. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know that that's what you wanted me to do. But David, great lesson to be learned in this small, teeny tiny psalm that if it's of the Lord, it's good. You don't need to worry about all things. But he says, I don't concern myself with great matters. How many of us concern ourselves with every matter, regardless of size, big or small? We have an opinion about things big and small. When somebody talks to us, we can't help but get the last word because we're so great and our opinion matters so much and it has nothing to do with what God's word says or how to act, but man, we got to get it out. You know, a big thing now is COVID, all these policies that are going on. I'm not saying by any stretch not to pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for these things. But if you're more worried about COVID and more worried about the political status of America than you are about what God's word says, we have a problem. And we got to get back to what he says. And David here says, I don't concern myself with great things. I don't concern myself with everything that happens. It'd be too much. It's taxing. It's a lot to focus on what we have in front of us, let alone concern ourselves. If I concern myself with everything Scott does, I'm going to be tired. If I concern myself with everything Phil does, I'm going to be tired. But if I focus on what God wants for me in my life and my family and how I can further his kingdom with a humble heart, we can do it. I can do that. I can do that. It might not always be easy. It might not always be fun, but I can do that. And then he says, nor with things too profound for me. He's not worried about everything that's going on. His wife just slandered him. He says, yeah. And side note, if you're following the Lord, it's going to happen. If you're following what he wants for you, it's going to happen. There's no way around it. And he's saying, it's fine. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know what my soul desires, and it's you. And he goes on in verse 2 to say, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul among the hustle and bustle of being a king and running a kingdom on top of what your wife has said. He says, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Is that because he's such a great man? No. Is that because he's the king and he shoot her off, said, I don't want you anymore? No. It's because God, he allowed God to take the reins in his life and be in control. He allowed God to run his kingdom. He allowed God to be involved with the decisions that he was making. He allowed God to do all of those things and be in charge. And he's okay with God running the show. I think we try and hold on to things too long and our grip starts slipping and we have to adjust because we don't want to let it go. We would rather be uncalm and loud in our souls and seek everything that we want for selfish ambition, because of our pride, because we can't let go of the one thing that's holding us from being as close as possible to God. Because if we do that, we might end up being a pastor. If we do that, we might end up being a missionary. If we do that, we might end up serving God. And that's scary. But David says, Lord, you've been in control. You're going to remain in control. So for that reason, even though my wife said these things about me, for that reason, because who you are inside me, I have calmed and quieted my soul. I find peace and refuge in you, Lord, and you alone. Folks, I'll tell you, if you're seeking peace and refuge in anything other than God's word or anything other than the Spirit or anything other than Jesus Christ, it ain't going to last long. Yeah, you might find it for a season. Yeah, you might find it for a moment. But I guarantee you ain't going to find it for forever. The only thing that's eternal is His word and His promises. And if you know Him, and if you can say that your soul has been calmed and quieted by the Holy Spirit, praise God. If not, there's still time. There's still time. But David here says, I have found it. I have surely, because of you, Lord, calmed and quieted my own soul. He's not worried about it. If Ashley said something like that to me, I'd probably cry. I'd be worked up. I'd be like, why would you say that? Why would you do that to me? Why would you do that? But David says, it's okay. Because the peace and the hope that I have in Christ, the peace and the hope that he had found in God, the calmness that only a relationship with him can bring, David's okay through it. And he's going to be okay. And then he says this, and I love this, like a weaned child with his mother. Then he says it again for emphasis. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You think about a nursing child. We don't have kids yet, but I've seen, you know, little babies. They cry. They get attention. The mom scoops them up, pulls them in close, feeds them, nurtures them, gives them everything that they need so that that's what good moms do. But the purpose for the nursing is to fill a belly. It's to form a bond. It's to help grow and develop a child. But it's instant. It's satisfied in an instant. Once that baby's full, and you burp it, and you put it down, he's out. You don't have to worry about him for another half hour or so. Maybe if you're lucky, I don't know. But it's an instant satisfaction that the baby gets. David's learned that, God, I don't just have to go with you. I don't just have to go to you when I need instant satisfaction. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, only go to God when you're in trouble? Only go to God when you got an empty stomach. Only go to God when everything in your life isn't acting up. You only go to God when it's convenient for you, or when you need it the most. When you don't have anywhere else to turn, so you turn back to God because He's been there before and He comforts you. I'll tell you, that ain't no way to live a Christian life. If you know the Lord, you don't have to live like that. And if you don't know the Lord, you don't have to live like that either. Put your faith and trust in Him. Repent. And you can have this relationship. But it's not going to be a nursing child to a mother. It's going to be, as David puts it, a weaned child to a mother. So adults, weaned child. You think little growing up, but we are all weaned children, as even being adults. What's the purpose that we go back home to visit mom? Maybe a lot of things. We get a full belly. I know I go to lunch. Go over to mom's for lunch every Tuesday. I get a full belly. I get to talk. But it's not because I need anything from her. It's not because she provides a basic need to me. And God does that. What David's saying is, I'm coming to you out of a want, out of a love, out of a need for companionship, a pure heart. That's why I'm going back to my family. That's why I can go back. It's no longer for an instant satisfaction. It's no longer only calling on God in the tough times. It's going to Him all the time because, yeah, He raised us up. And I think it's interesting that David talks of a small child here, but he is a mature man of God. And he is saying, Lord, I don't just have to come to you anymore when things aren't working out. I can come to you whenever. I can call in the middle of the night and you're going to be there. I can tell you thank you in the middle of the night and you're going to be there. I can have that embrace. I can have those things that you provided when I was younger, but that's not the only reason I come to you anymore. Lord, even in this time of perhaps despair and his wife slandering him, he says, Lord, like a weaned child with his mother is my soul within me. He said, I'm comforted. I'm coming to you out of a pure heart, pure motives, simply for the fact that David loves God. And he is known, and he has been there, and we have all been in the place where we have only gone to God when we needed something. We've only gone to God when we went without. We had only gone to God when we didn't have. David says, no, I've been there too, but not anymore. I've been there too, but not anymore. And his soul is comforted. And the weaned child, like a weaned child, is my soul within me. His soul is close. He has a loving, tender relationship with his God. Regardless of everything that was going on in his life at the time, regardless of anything that's going on in your life tonight, you can have that same relationship. You can have that same promise. You can have that same feeling of God listens to me. God loves me. God hears me when I cry. I don't have to go to him only in the bad times. I can be thankful and I can dance. And I don't care what anybody else says about my praise. If this is the way God's leading it, it's good. Keep in mind the context. His wife was despised him in her heart. Hated him for it. Because he was acting out of joy to the Lord, and she didn't quite like it. But he says here in Psalm 131, verse 2, it's okay. It's okay. And then he moves on to verse 3, and he says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David is an awesome leader. He's an awesome man of God. He's somebody who is resilient. He's somebody who keeps going. He was a leader who built his foundation on a permanent one. He is somebody, when he went to the Lord, he knew that results were going to come. And what does he do here? Among all of the things that were going on in his life, among everything, all the naysayers, Saul, his wife, all the things that were happening in his kingdom at this time, he says, Israel, God's people, said, you want to get through your hard times too? You want to get through the same way I did? You want to have somebody say something ill against you or bad against you? Well, here's how you do it. Hope in the Lord from this time and forevermore. You know, when you have a good king like David leading, people can't help but follow him. A man after God's own heart. Did he have his slip-ups? Oh, yes, he did. Did he get everything right? Oh, no, he didn't. But each and every time he screwed up, he knew where to go. Each and every time he had something not go his way, whether if he was in the wilderness or on the throne, he knew he was going to get him through it. And he's encouraging to the people that he's leading, saying, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time and forevermore. You know, I think about it right now is sometimes this verse is, verse 3 is easier said than done. It's hard sometimes to have that hope. It's hard sometimes to have that faith in God that with what his word says he can do, he will do. I know it's hard. But it doesn't give us any right to discount it. It doesn't give us any reason to try and do it on our own, because I'll tell you, that won't work either. And David knows that. And he says, through these tough times, through this slander, through these things that are going on in my life right now, from this time and forevermore, my hope is going to be in the Lord. I know this isn't a very long message tonight, I know it's not long, being three verses, but I have the same encouragement to you all as David did in verse 3. Put your hope in the Lord from now and forevermore. It's all we can think about all the things that we do in this life and all of the great accolades that we can acquire and accomplish in a life. But if all of those things are done without God, if all of those things are done without the assurance of salvation in your life, if all of those things are done to lift your name up, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Last thing before we close is, last statement, I suppose, is just as David understood what God wanted for his life and allowed him to lead in every aspect of his life, won't you? Won't you? The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Without it, we have nothing. We have temporary things that rust and moss are going to destroy. We have things that we can pile up, and when we die, we don't take them with us, and we go to hell. David has a pure heart in his words. He has a clear mind, not because of who he is as a man, but because how he allows God to work in his life. So as we stand tonight, the altar is open, and I'd be more than happy to pray with you.